the Spot, a BYU Idaho radio production where we talk about what you're talking about at BYU Idaho. Today's hosts are me, Savannah Bewley,
Brinley Fowler,
and Hayden Hahn.
The views and opinions of this podcast are not that of BYU Idaho radio or the university and are solely the opinions of the hosts. Today we actually saved one of our favorite things for the end of the semester. Mm-hmm. Today we're talking about Disney and our earliest memories. We'll start with our earliest memories of Disney. And one that I cannot forget. I was shaped by this movie, Nightmare Before Christmas. Mm-hmm. If you've heard of it, I'm sure everybody has. But as a kid, I literally watched it 20 times a day. Like, I just would watch it on
no
loop.
Way.
Like, so much times. Fun. Maybe not 20 times, but definitely a lot every single day. And when I was six, I remember my older brother, he was just so upset because I would constantly want to listen to this movie all the time. And it's really shaped who I am, I think, because a lot of the parts of my personality came from that movie.
That's so funny because I think about Tim Burton, and this is going to come up later on, but like basically the Disney movies that kind of creeped me out or maybe I didn't love as much as a kid, definitely Tim Burton, because I don't know why he kind of freaked me out. But also I have something with claymation where for some reason claymation also freaks
just
me
creeps
out.
You out.
It just creeps me out. Like The Corpse Bride, it has a cool storyline,
so
but the antagonist totally gave me the heebie-jeebies.
Oh yeah, he's creepy for sure.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. When I'm trying to think about earliest memories of Disney, I'm like, what was like early 2000s, you know, like prime kid time for me? I was like, what was I watching? I'm like, Monsters, Inc. You know, Monsters, Inc. for me was like my favorite. I don't know. Sully was like my bro. I just wanted Sully to come hang out with me, you know, as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, the story in itself, like I watch it now, I'm like, kind of creepy. Like monsters are jumping in that kid's room. But like, I don't know. As a kid, I was like, that's the coolest thing. Come hang out with me. So
you know, Hayden, you seem like a character from Monsters University. Like, Monsters University.
Yeah.
I feel like I could see you there.
Yeah, I'd blend right in.
Yeah, yeah. You're that, like, fuzzy guy with the, like, long legs, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, that's... You know who I'm talking about?
Yes, I actually do. That's me. I'll take it.
Why can't I think of his name? The long guy that's in the...
Does he have, like, the two, like, big, like,
the two
arms,
big legs,
I guess?
He's, like, purple, and
Yeah.
You're totally that character.
Thank you. There's a lot more worse characters that you could be, so I'll take it. The fuzzy big guy.
That's awesome. For me, some of my earliest memories, like, I have a memory of just like watching Mary Poppins with like this neighbor girl. And it's kind of one of those things, you know how you have really early childhood memories that you just have like dreams about?
Yeah.
Not kidding. That's one of them.
And over then, and over again?
No, not. Just like it just comes back to me watching Mary Poppins for some reason. And then also I just loved Cinderella.
Okay.
And so my mom said I used to call Cinderella Cinderella. And, like, I just loved her. It was probably because she was a blonde, and I'm a blonde. And I remember my mom actually hired this girl, because my first 5 years of my life, I lived in Utah. She hired this teenage girl from our ward to come be Cinderella at my birthday party.
Aww.
And I was, like, 3 years old, and it was the coolest thing ever. And then also, just to prove how much I loved Disney as a kid, my parents took me to Disneyland for my second birthday.
There we go.
And so, kind of cool. And crazy fact... So I was born, so my birthday is September 13th, and my second birthday, actually the day after we went to Disney, my parents were in a hotel room and 9/11 happened.
Really?
And they actually saw 9/11 happen from the TV in the hotel room. And so that's kind of a crazy fact. They had just flown to California.
Wow.
And we went to Disney, and then the next day 9/11 happened. So kind of crazy.
That was a crazy little connection there. Goodness. Well, I guess I'm just going to, I was looking at some other things that I could say it reminded me of my early childhood in Disney, but did you guys ever remember the movie Dinosaur? It was just called Dinosaur.
No, yes, I do.
It's a Disney movie, right?
Yeah, it
okay,
is.
Okay, yeah. And my brothers and I, we got five boys in our family. For whatever reason, dinosaurs just fit right with boys. So we had five of us, and there was this little toy, and it literally was just the main dinosaur from the movie. And you could like play like with a puppet kind of with like your hand, and it was his head.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, that was our favorite toy. We would like go around and talk with that. It was like, I don't know, weird brother thing or something like that. But that was our favorite movie, and we would go around with that little toy and like talk with it and stuff like that. And like, I don't know, it was super random, but... Yeah, that movie. And it's like one of those Disney movies that I feel like maybe don't really talk about too much. No, it's just called straight up Dinosaur.
True. No, I remember Dinosaur. It was like one of the first movies that I remember being kind of like a live action type cartoon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you think of that. And okay, wait, Land Before Time, is that Disney?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Let me look that up real quick.
Yeah, look that up, because that was another thing that I watched as a kid. That might not even be Disney, but Land Before Time.
And there's like so many of them. Like, they're all sudden just start popping them out. I'm like,
there's just so many.
How many Land Before Time?
I think there's like 20 of them or something.
Yeah, 1988. Is it Disney though? I'm not seeing Disney or Lucasfilm, which is Disney now, which is kind of odd. Universal
bought them out.
Universal.
Oh, there you go.
Well, darn it. We just gave Land Before Time a little bit of
a
promotion in our Disney podcast.
We were talking about Disney memories, though, and Colton Scholl actually got to talk to one of his friends, Jackie, about some of the favorite Disney memories that she has and her favorite Disney movie. So this is how that went.
All right. I'm here today with my friend Jackie, and we're going to talk a little bit about Disney. So I think the best place to start is, obviously, what's your favorite Disney movie, Jackie?
Well, it's got to be a classic. It's Beauty and the Beast. It's one that I grew up watching. And as my mom would tell me, when I was about 3 years old, I pretty much ran the VHS tape into oblivion because I would watch it repeatedly. And it stuck with me. It's been a favorite pretty much from day one, as far as I can remember. So
that's awesome. We all have those movies that it's like, yeah, I'll watch it six more times. Why not?
Exactly. Exactly. Yep.
So is Belle your favorite Disney princess then, or?
Yeah, I would say so, you know, and, you know, it's funny that I, you know, grew up to be a bookworm, kind of like her, you know, the library is definitely probably one of my favorite scenes. Just, you know, what little girl bookworm doesn't want to get into Beast's library and read all those amazing looking books. So, you know, that's just something that's kind of stuck with me. And then, of course, the whole theme of the story, you know, being able to look past the surface and beauty comes from within. Just kind of a fun, or not fun, but, you know, a very real theme that you can kind of apply to life. That, you know, as you're meeting people, you can kind of look past the surface and see, you know, are they a good person on the inside?
Yeah, that's really cool. Do you feel like that's a big proponent of why you like Disney, is that it has those life lessons applied, or?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think that, you know, in addition to just being, you know, a fun story with, you know, cool songs that you can sing along to, you can also learn some really good life lessons from the stories too, which gives it the whole package.
Do you have a favorite Disney song? I know there's a lot of songs in all
that
of Disney.
That is a good question. I mean, you know, there's so many great ones. It'd be hard to pick just one, honestly. I mean, anything from the 90s movies, you know, all of those movies had just amazing soundtracks that, you know, you could name any one of those songs. And I'd be like, yeah, that's a bop. Mm-hmm. I'd dance to that. So.
Yeah, so is the 90s, in your opinion, the best era of Disney, or do you prefer sort of where we've gone into?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. No, I'm definitely a 90s, you know, Disney Renaissance era kind of gal. You know, those are the movies that I grew up on. Those define my childhood. I mean, you know, there's great stuff, you know, with the classics. There's great stuff, you know, with the movies that have come out now, but the 90s is definitely the era that resonates with me.
So you called it the Disney Renaissance. Do you know why it's called that? I've always wondered.
Well, yeah, so it's kind of, I think, just gotten that nickname because that was kind of the resurgence of Disney's popularity. You know, you got the OG Disney with, you know, Snow White and Pinocchio and 101 Dalmatians and all those original classics that came out when Walt Disney was still alive. And then after he passed away, the 70s and 80s were kind of the dark ages. The animation, the movies that were coming out weren't quite at that same level of popularity or not at that same level of, oh, what's the word? Like, you know, they weren't as good as the originals that had come out. And so starting with
high
little,
quality.
Yeah, low quality. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And so they say the Renaissance started with Little Mermaid because that was kind of the when they paired off Alan Menken with the music. And
yeah, him and Howard Ashman.
When they got them on the songs and then the story writing and the new animation and things like that, Little Mermaid going forward, that's kind of the Renaissance, the resurgence of Disney when it got popular again, when the movies were going out for awards again and things were, you know, it was kind of a remembrance of the old Disney, you know, Snow White and how groundbreaking it was. So,
yeah, I just for fun, I looked up 70s Disney movies and you've got like the Shaggy Dog and the Apple Dumpling Game, which I'm sure people like those. Like, I'm a big fan of Herbie, but I wouldn't call it a great movie.
Exactly. Yeah, there were some decent movies that came out, but were they as good as the original, you know, Disney in its heyday? Probably not. Mm-hmm.
That's fair. All right, I think that's all the time that we have, but thank you so much for joining us, Jackie. Greatly appreciate your insights, and we'll go back to you guys in the studio.
So there were a few things that she talked about a little bit that I'd love to share. One of those was the thing that I actually resonated with was when she was talking about rewatching those movies over and over and over again. And I think this is one of the reasons why Disney is so successful is because they make movies that people could literally watch. Kids would literally watch over and over again.
Oh, for sure.
Over and over again. I'm not the only child that has done this, as she is to attest here. Did you guys ever have a movie that you rewatched over and over again that was Disney related?
Off the top of my head, I have to think of one. I don't know if I can think of one off the top of my head, but I do know for kids that I've babysat, it's Encanto.
Oh, yes.
Recently, I've heard that's like, yes. I haven't even seen it. I'll be honest, I'm saying it. I've heard it.
It's really good.
Yeah. The soundtrack is amazing, and I think that's really what contributes to, I don't know, just the attractiveness of a Disney movie, and if you can watch it over and over again, it's if it has those catchy tunes. And Encanto, it really
does.
Has
a lot of them.
Oh, yeah. I love the soundtrack.
Luisa's song, my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard that,
oh,
like,
gosh.
Over and over again. That's the song so I've good. Heard about. So I would say that, and going off of that, like Moana, I feel like
Moana.
Really big on that because, I don't know, that's like my, I guess, most recent favorite Disney movie because it just, the music was really good, the stories, the rocks in it, it's like, it was really good. So, I don't know, music though, for sure, big in Disney and making it like, you know, better than the others, I guess.
No, I totally agree with you.
I don't know, if you think about it, like back in the very early Disney days, they still had music in their earliest movies. Like if you think back to Snow White, like Jackie was talking about, Snow White had songs in it, you know, and that was just like very formative for kids' movies, I think. And I think that's one reason why Disney is so popular and is just where it is now. It's so successful because they decided to really think outside the box and start adding things like that into their movies. And I know there was music in movies before that, but they really integrate it into the story. And that's different, I think.
No, it's totally true. And then just the ability for Disney movies to become theatrical performances.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I just think about my high school and even just my dad was just telling me that my little siblings went to a musical this past weekend from their old charter school and they did Moana.
Really?
And so imagine that. A bunch of like kids under like it's eighth grade and under seeing some Polynesian songs. And so super
That's
fun.
So cool.
But and then I just think also like my siblings had done like Beauty and the Beast before. And so just the fact that you can make musicals out of these movies, people are gonna continue to just interact with them and watch them and all of that the rest of their lives.
Yeah, I think that's what Disney does great. Like they always make an opportunity to make something more of every single thing they do. Like there's always more to expound on what they have. I was gonna say just something that I feel like that they do really, really good is that they create characters that seem to connect with everyone. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And so like there's not just one character and they all are the same person. They have a different character depending on who you are. And so they want to make everyone feel noticed or they want to make everyone feel like they are special, I guess. And so that's what they do good. And so
is there a specific character that you connect with?
That's what I was like thinking of and I was looking up. I really enjoy, it sounds funny, but Emperor's New Groove, Pacha. I don't know why. I was like, Pacha is
cool.
Such a big, he's like a
cool.
Just a big, this big guy who's just friendly, caring, and wants
such
to be
a
good
dad.
Yeah, wants to be a good dad, cares about, and throughout the story, you see that he tends to start out being a little bit not really selfish, but he just wants his family to be protected, and then he starts to care about other people. I feel like that's where I connected with, where I'm just this big guy. I want to do my best to help people, serve people, and help people, and I feel like that's the message they got across with him. So kind of random, but that's who I connected with.
Oh, for sure. And I just think, why has Disney been so successful? It's because we find those characters that we can connect with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have just like the variety of genres, right? Comedies, dramas, rom-coms, action for all different audiences, kids, families, adults. And for me, who I really connected with is Rapunzel. And I know people who are listening to this podcast have never seen me in person. You can look me up on Facebook. But I have really
I'm kind of a big deal. You can look me up.
You can look me up. But I have really long blonde hair. And also just like Rapunzel, she just has this fun, bubbly personality. And I like to think that I'm fun, but she can also be a little passive aggressive, which I can also be so a little passive aggressive. And she loves artwork and just like following her dreams. And for me, that's one of my favorite hobbies. And so I always found myself really connecting with Rapunzel.
I would agree. Like, there's just so many different characters, and Rapunzel does remind me of you. Same with Pacha, honestly. Like, that seems...
I'm giving Pacha vibes
over
here. Yeah,
you have Pacha vibes, Thank Hayden. You really do. You know, mine's an interesting one, the one that I resonate a lot with. It's from Onward. And Ian Lightfoot and Barley Lightfoot, I really connect to the two of them.
Now I need to watch that movie.
Right? It is so
underrated.
It is so underrated.
It's very underrated. Right when we went into the COVID lockdown. I remember I went to the movie, saw that COVID came out. I was like,
right. Oh my gosh. But it's so good. It's a great movie. And it's mostly because like their story really resonates with me. My dad passed away when I was about 10, and Ian and Barley are just this whole movie trying to get to know their father through this spell, you know? And so for me, it was really cool. I really resonated with them because I've always grown up trying to understand my dad because he's not here, you know, on Earth right now. And so just the little things that they do, like wearing their dad's sweater and like playing a game that relates to some of the things their dad did on Earth, you know what I mean? Like, it's just... I relate to them very much, and I think there's a lot of characters in Disney that are just very deep and meaningful to so many people. And I almost always, and when I talk to people like for the first time, I'm always like, who's your favorite Disney character? Because then you just already almost always know who they are a person.
So
you know?
True.
You know their personality, you know what their desires, not really all their desires, but you know what they want kind of. And so I do appreciate it. And it's crazy that they have told so many stories, but there's so many more stories to tell. There's so many more people to connect with. So they'll continue to be successful as they continue to branch out and create these new good stories and stuff.
Absolutely.
I totally think so, too. I think another reason, I think Jackie had talked about this a tiny bit in the interview, but just the fact that Disney continues to bring back the classics as a new live action, I think that's really going to contribute to their ongoing success because, you know, when they make a new live action Lion King, of course I'm going to go watch it because I'm curious. And same thing with Little Mermaid, Cinderella, The Jungle Book, all of
these. Have you guys seen The Little Mermaid?
I actually haven't.
Is it out yet?
You haven't? Is it out?
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know if it's out yet.
Really?
I've seen a lot of stuff about it. Maybe it is things. Just now
Look that up, Hayden. Fact check me.
We need to know.
But you know we're going to want to watch it, right?
Yeah.
And so that's just proves the point. And so I just think as they continue to recreate these classics, I'm waiting for them to do Snow White because I think that would be
amazing.
So cool. I just think that obviously our kids are going to continue to watch these movies and connect with us on a different level. Yeah, Hayden.
I agree. Well, I was just going to say the date is May 26th. So
May 26th.
Coming up.
Here we go.
I was about to say, I feel like I would have known if it did come out, right?
Yeah.
Like,
well, you said your favorite villain is Ursula, I remember.
Yeah,
right?
My favorite villain. Oh, Hayden's going back
you, right?
to our
is that
villains
it?
Episode. But yes, yeah. Yeah, Ursula is my favorite villain, and I love her so much.
That's awesome. I love that for you.
So you're probably excited just to see where they go with that. Like, that's one thing that they can catch people. You got your favorite characters as animated people, but you're like, I wonder what they're going to do with this person as a live action. And so it's impressive, Beauty and the Beast to turn the beast in what they did and make it so realistic. And it was just
so
really cool.
Oh, so cool.
And so you get to connect with the audiences of the people who love the animated, but also find a new audience in the people of live action. So
even though seeing Hermione Granger as Belle was a little
odd.
I think she did a great job.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and that's the thing is a lot of those child actors, they're known for a specific character and they need to branch out eventually, you know?
For sure.
I feel like for her, that character really probably was a good one for her to latch onto because she was known as a child actress. She was known as somebody who connected with children. And so being Belle is in a live action is helping her connect to children still, but also the adults who are connected to the original movie as well.
Yep.
So it kind of helped her branch away from that kind of style.
Agree.
So it was definitely good for her. We actually talked about our favorite characters and favorite people from Disney, but it doesn't necessarily mean that those characters are from our favorite Disney movie. So do you guys have a specific movie that you really like, even if it is the one with your favorite character in it? what are some memories or favorite movies that you really like from Disney?
I was going to say, well, I was trying to look up, because there's easy answers. You could say, like, go off of Toy Story and just pick characters and stuff from that. But I feel like my favorite overall kind of story, I guess Disney movie in general. I don't know why. I wanted to pick Meet the Robinsons.
That's a good one.
Okay, yeah, mm-hmm. Right. And so I was going through. I was like, okay, I like these. But like the story in Meet the Robinsons, it's not like I connect it in any way, but I feel like it's such a good story. It's like they were really creative with it. The soundtrack is really good. I remember listening to that like on my mission and stuff, I'm being honest with you. But like I remember it's just everything about it I really loved. I grew up in, I even played like the game when I was like in elementary school and stuff. So for whatever reason, that game really resonates with me, and I just get a happy feeling when I think about it. And that's something that I'm sure I get that good feeling with a lot of movies, but Meet the Robinsons, it was such a good movie.
That's a good one. I totally agree. For me, I think about Remember the Titans.
Ooh, I was going to.
I know. Sorry about that. I got you.
No. We could talk. Yeah, that's good.
I know. He's actually wearing a football shirt right now.
Yeah.
And so Remember the Titans, and then also the Game Plan with The Rock.
Oh, yeah, with
Johnson.
The Rock.
Yes.
And the little girl with the curly hair. Yes. She was so in like cute. A bunch yes. of Disney stuff. But yeah.
I just like love what they've done with their sports movies. And so, and that's just like another side of me is I love soccer. And so those movies for sure always bring back great memories.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, I don't know, the ones that I really connect with the most, I have to say Nightmare Before Christmas, because anybody who's listening and knows me knows I have to talk about Nightmare Before Christmas. And I think it's just because, like, I don't know, it's like this character that has such dark feelings on the inside and like looks dark on the outside, but he really wants something more in his life. And it like really represents to me the people who struggle and have a lot of hardship on the outside, but they're looking for a sense of wonder, right? Mm-hmm. They're looking for something better and happier in their lives. And that's what Jack does. He goes out and he's looking for something that to fulfill his soul. And that's what he finds is Christmas, right?
Yeah.
And he's trying to bring that Christmas spirit to other people who also have that, you know, sadness on the outside and the inside. And I don't know. That's one thing I just really connected with as a kid and still connect with as an adult. That's one reason why I love Tim Burton so much. Just there's ways that he can communicate those dark feelings on the outside with characters and then help them to see the hope in the light.
Yeah.
It's just really cool to me.
That is
super cool.
I love that. I was going to just toss in there just to give some love, but Brother Bear, anyone?
Brother Bear.
I love Brother Bear.
That's a good one. Another good one that I just get the good, kind of good vibes thinking about. And again, great soundtrack. Soundtrack's so important to me, so I'm kind of biased towards good ones, but I think it was Phil Collins and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I love that movie, though.
So good. So good. And another bear-related one is Brave.
Oh, yeah.
I love
Brave. Redheads. I'm a redhead, so it's like, that's my people.
It's your jam,
that's
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one. Do you guys have any least favorite Disney movies? Because I don't know if I have one that I didn't like too much, except maybe Frozen 2. I did not like Frozen 2.
Is that like comparative to the first one? Like, you didn't think it was, like, a lot of these new ones recently are like, why are you making another one?
Like, that was part of it. But also, like, I feel like the characters don't grow too much in the whole movie.
That's
like,
true.
In the second movie. That's, like, the beginning and the end, they're pretty much the same characters as they were.
No,
right?
I agree with you.
The first one, there's tons of growth between like, a lot of people.
Yeah, exactly. And also, like, with the first one, it was the first time Disney was like, hey, like, we're not just about princes. Like, we're about sisters. We're about family. We're about something else, right?
I agree. Mm-hmm.
And I loved that about the first one. But the second one, it's almost like just this excuse to bring in some pop versions of songs, and like the music doesn't even match the first movie, and I don't know.
I do like the soundtrack of Frozen 2. I don't necessarily love the storyline, but like just like some things never change, and like Into the Unknown, I think that they, maybe it's because I did like, what's it called, The Perfect Score. So if you've ever listened to Perfect Score before, I did an episode just all about like basically Disney movies with female roles, and I did a lot of music from Frozen 2, and it's a vibe for sure. So, but I
Brinley,
agree.
You look like you could cosplay Elsa.
Thank you.
I was about
totally
to say
could.
That. Yeah, I thought you were gonna like leeway into that. We're like, actually, I can't.
Actually,
play,
I have been asked before. Well, actually, in my mission, they called me Tinkerbell and Elsa often.
Oh, I could see Tinkerbell.
You know, I'm just like a wannabe Disney princess. Let's be honest here.
I feel like you can pull off Elsa a little bit more than Tinkerbell, though.
For sure.
Like,
I think personality. So too. I think so, too. Tinkerbell's kind of a stinker.
She is.
Yeah, she's like too passive aggressive.
I like her, but she just doesn't fit your vibe, I think.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
She's a good character, though.
Other, I guess, least favorite movies?
Yeah, least favorite. Yeah. I'm already locked and loaded.
So. You're locked and loaded?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh. You're, like, about to bash this
ready,
one.
Go I mean, ahead, Brindling.
I've got this one, but it's, like, Thor, Love, and Thunder. I'm not sure you guys saw it.
Oh, yeah.
Disappointment, you know? I was just, the second one, whatever it was called, was so amazing, and I loved it. Soundtrack.
Oh, Ragnarok is, like, one of my favorite movies
hilarious.
Of all time.
And I loved how they went from, like, the serious, first Thor was super serious. Second one, I also... Thor 2, I don't even know the name of it, also not good. But then the letdown from going from such a high in Thor 3 and then Love and Thunder, like they had great act, like you had Christian Bale as like your main bad guy.
I know.
And you barely even talk about character development. Like they actually built up his character and then like the end was kind of a letdown. Like
no, it's true. And also just like it was like Thor like made sarcastic comments like every other scene and they just didn't meet his vibe. It didn't hit well. And also, like, his old girlfriend, I'm sorry for people who are listening, his old girlfriend came back, and then she became a Thor, too. And I just thought that was so lame.
Like, I think it's in the comics or whatever. Like, it's part of it, but, like, maybe they could have chosen, like, someone else. I thought she was already, like, moved on. Like,
I thought we had
moved past her. You know what
I mean? Yeah, it was weird. So have you seen that, Savannah?
I have a very different opinion.
Oh no,
we're going
off of the third one to the fourth one is what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying.
Ragnarok to Love and Thunder, but please.
I totally get what you're saying. I love what they did with the end where, I mean, there's spoilers coming if you haven't seen it and you want to.
Tune out
for a second. I just love what they did in the end where he like ends with a different kind of love.
Yeah,
you
that's
know what
true.
I'm saying?
That
like,
is true.
The,
that was
with
sweet.
His daughter and like, you know, I don't know. I just thought that was super, super cute, and I love that. But I get it. I get where everyone else is coming from. I just have a hot take.
No, it's okay. So I get your perspective, and I understand it. I was just like, I was laughing the whole time in Ragnarok, and what's his name? Waititi is the director. I think is his name. Hilarious.
Takai Waititi.
Yeah. And so I loved it, and I was expecting. I had big. I guess I just expected a ton.
Expectations. Yep. Yeah.
Totally
going into it with big expectations sometimes works, sometimes doesn't.
It doesn't.
No, it is so true. For me, for like least favorite, I think it's just when they take classics and they continue the storyline.
Too far.
Yep. And like, I'm just thinking, okay, so Star Wars is tough, right? Because Star Wars, Disney now owns Star Wars, or at least it's on Disney Plus and all of that. Mandalorian, favorite series of all time.
Great, yeah.
It's playing
it's
right
good.
Now. I love it. Except this past episode.
I heard it. I wasn't
a little
big, a
weird
start,
for me.
Though. I haven't jumped into the new season. So.
Oh, you should jump into the new season.
I should? Okay.
It's just fun because it's nostalgic for me as well. I just love Mando. And if you've ever met Colton, who's usually on the spot, looks exactly like Mando. If you ever see him without his mask.
He does. He really does.
He really does. It's kind of scary.
It's kind of crazy, yeah.
And so, anyways, love Mandalorian. And Book of Boba Fett, huge disappointment. But it's just like they've continued some of these stories and they just don't match the original vibe, if that makes sense. Like as far as Star Wars goes. And then also Marvel. Love Marvel, okay? But like She-Hulk, I'm just going to leave
why?
It at that. I just did not understand why they had to go there. And honestly, like, what was it? Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
That one was a little bit of a letdown for me as well.
Hawkeye
was okay. But loved Loki. Loki was fantastic.
Loki's a good one.
Loki was a good one. But I feel like they're just pumping out so many TV series. First off, I can't catch up.
Mm-hmm.
And they all like intertwine with one another. If you haven't seen What If was actually really good.
That's like
I've heard of it,
animated
actually.
Animated one, right?
Yes, yeah,
like,
it's the animated one.
What would happen
and I like was actually really against it at first. Super good. And they all intertwine because they're Disney. They have to do that. But it's just when they continue the storyline and I feel like they're sometimes pumping out TV series and movies too fast.
Yeah.
And they don't take into full consideration just like the original characters and the connection that we have with them.
Yeah.
And that's all I have to say about that.
I get what you're saying too. And then I felt like when I went on a mission and I come back and there's all these new shows and movies, I feel like if I want to be caught up on the story, I then have to spend all this time watching a ton of shows, a ton of movies, and it's like, individual movies should be good on its own and should be able to tell a story on its own.
Without others.
Without all mm-hmm. the substance, you know what I mean? All this other stuff, which I understand it builds on top of it, and I get that, but it's like, there is so much where I'm like, I don't know if I want to sit through every single one of these shows, you know what I mean? But I feel like I have to if I want to connect with this movie or the story or the end game. I guess like Marvel Endgame, you wanted to watch all those Marvel movies, and I wanted to, right? Because they were all good. Now it's like, I keep on seeing these bad reviews. Do I want to go see Ant-Man and the Wasp?
It's like there's a lot of hours to put into all of that, and it's a little bit too much, I would say, for sure. And I don't know, for me, like when Disney Plus started coming out, at first I was a little bit iffy about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then at the same time, I was like, you know, Disney movies aren't on anything. And it would be kind of cool to just go on there and see Disney movies,
right? Oh, yeah,
right?
No, I totally agree.
Yeah. And so after a little bit, I realized, you know, it's worth paying for. But at the same time, if you're paying for all of these things, you might as well be paying for cable at that point, you know?
That's like, so funny. It's actually so true. That's why you just have to make a pact with your friends. Be like, you get the Disney Plus subscription, you get the Netflix subscription. And that's just how it has to go sometimes. I do appreciate, though, how Disney Plus also has National Geographic now.
That's very true.
I know that's not Disney, but, like, I love National Geographic. Have you ever heard of Primal Survivor with Hazen Audell?
Mm-mm.
Just
Tell
barely got
it.
Into it. It's so good. Hazen Audell, he just is this beast of a man who like goes to all these different tribes around the globe and like completes these challenges, and it is like so legit. Like,
it's on Disney Plus.
It's on Disney
Plus. That sounds cool.
Look it up, because the first season is the best season, I think, but it just it's really cool. And so I love that they have National Geographic.
I agree. And honestly, like, after time, I was like, you know what, Disney Plus is great, it's needed, because where else are you going to find all the cool classics? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, Netflix is not going to have Hercules, you know? Like, you know, if I'm wanting to watch Tarzan, you got to find Disney Plus, you know?
I agree.
So it's needed.
I also think that it's like a safer place for kids,
mm-hmm.
at least for me, just thinking like my comfort level of just like having my kids have accessibility to a certain streaming platform.
Yep.
I'm really comfortable
with Disney Plus,
and so because I've seen a lot of those movies, even though sometimes you go and you like watch Disney movies and you're like, okay, there's some serious innuendo in this movie.
Yeah,
like
you can
Stitch
tell.
There's
and
a
like,
lot.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I'm like, but that completely went over my head. So
yeah, when I was a kid, I didn't notice that. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. But yeah, I think for Disney, I think it really is the familial platform, and so. Yeah.
Yeah. Disney Plus. I mean, going off of that, it's like, I don't know if I spend a ton of time. That's like not my top streaming service, but I have it. So it's like, I think Disney Plus is necessary if you want to watch those classes, if you want to watch any of those Marvel movies. And they put them on there pretty quick. Like, they'll release them in the movies, and like within 2 months, I want to say, they're on Disney Plus. So it's like.
And sometimes they release them on Disney Plus and in the movie theater at the same time.
Yeah.
You do, and you can pay for it. And
which
like,
is super cool.
And I've done that before, and poor like movie theaters, man.
I know, I feel bad.
Especially like with COVID, like nobody could go to them. A bunch of them closed down. And then also just like, I feel like Disney was a huge drive to go to the movies. And now I'm like, I'll just wait for it to come out on Disney Plus. And
the poor theaters too. And other streaming services are doing that too now. Like,
HBO, like, was on that big time. Yeah. They would put movies straight onto theirs. But like, I do feel like Disney Plus is necessary. I do feel like that it has a good market there. They do things really cool. I was watching with a group just like the Marvel movies, and they have like the chronological, there's like a title, like it's called the chronological order, and you can watch everything from like start to finish. And they put it in that order for you. They put in movies, like shows, shorts, everything that's connected chronologically, they'll put it in that order.
That's so cool. I love that.
It's cool that they put stuff like that where you don't have to like go searching for like, or like go on Google and be like, what do I watch next? They have it for you the way that it's supposed to be. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
That is really cool. Honestly, Disney Plus is great. I mean, there are a lot of things that I've found on there that I'm just like, where did this come from? Like,
no, it's true.
Yeah, it's just like, I didn't know this was Disney, but I'm loving this right now.
Yeah.
So it's good.
I totally agree. And I just think, I don't know, I'm just so excited. One day we went to Magic Kingdom for Christmas this past year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like that is the place if you want to go see Disney, you go to Magic Kingdom. Yeah. And it was so much fun and very nostalgic for me. But like as you get older, it's not like I'm just going to be
not as much.
It's not as much. It's mm-hmm. not as magical when mm-hmm. you get older. But my 9-year-old sister had the time of her life. Aww. And that was magical. Mm. And so I'm just so excited one day to take my kids to Disney because just get them hyped up on Disney Plus and all the classics and take them to Disney. I think that, I don't know. I think for my parents too, that was the best part. And so I'm really excited for one day.
Yes. You're the people you love. And yeah. so that's exciting.
Oh, so fun.
I agree. You've been listening to The Spot, a production of BYU Idaho Radio. Today's hosts were me, Savannah Bewley,
Brinley Fowler,
and Hayden Hahn.
The views and opinions of this podcast are not that of BYU Idaho Radio or the university and are solely the opinions of the hosts. This episode was edited by me, Savannah Bewley, and Chandler Guadagnin. Producers were the hosts with supervision by Brandon Isle and Natalia Hepworth. Our theme music is Finding Happiness by DJ Quads and The Perpetual Ticking of Time by Artificial Music. To listen to more episodes of The Spot, like and follow us on social media or visit our website, byui.edu/radio, and click podcasts. Be sure to subscribe to the BYU Idaho Radio podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, or wherever you get podcasts. And also leave a review of the show and leave a comment on what we should talk about next.